Welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Linda Stokum. Today, I am joined by Lawrence Eichenfield, MD, of Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego. He discusses the importance of multidisciplinary care in the dermatology specialty. He gives his own experience of working with other specialties, along with tips on how to improve communications with other health professionals.
I'm Dr. Larry Eichenfield, Chief of Pediatric Dermatology and a Professor of Dermatology and Pediatrics and Vice Chair of Dermatology at the University of California, San Diego, Rady Children's Hospital.
Well, thank you so much for being able to speak with me today. And we're going to talk a little bit about multidisciplinary for pediatric AD patients. Atopic dermatitis is such a hot topic right now, especially in pediatric populations. Who can all be involved in atopic dermatitis management, and how do these experts have to work together?
One of the interesting things about atopic dermatitis, right, is that it has this span in severities from mild to severe, and of course, span in ages. So primary care doctors, especially pediatricians, can be, you know, heavily involved. They're really the first line of atopic dermatitis, often making the diagnosis and then trying initial therapies. And then as it gets trickier or there's more parental concern, or there's more significant disease, they'll often be referred on, in most cases, to dermatologists or pediatric dermatologists, sometimes to pediatric allergists. And then sometimes it gets even more complicated because families may be seeking out alternative and complementary medicine. And or sometimes we see people who will, you know, they'll be concerned about allergies and they'll start to see more than one allergist, or they'll, you know, to try to get different opinions. So it's not uncommon that there's multiple healthcare providers or multiple groups of people involved in care.
And with how busy everyone is nowadays, physician burnout, understaffing, all of those things are factors for how communication is affected in these cases, just in patient care in general. So how can communication be improved between clinicians to make sure no one's missing anything?
I think the communication's really crucial, both to coordinate the care amongst different healthcare providers, but also to try to get consistent messaging to the patient and the family. So we have experience at Rady Children's in having a multidisciplinary atopic dermatitis program where patients with more significant disease are seen concurrently with a pediatric dermatologist, an allergist, clinical pharmacist, and then we have other research people involved who are helping to collect, you know, patient outcome data, et cetera. And it gives an opportunity for both extended evaluations, a holistic approach to the patient, and also a time for more extensive education. And so my experience is that the communication, having real-time communication, is fabulous. And we can't will that as a, you know, a standard methodology, but it does show us that trying to have good communication between the healthcare provider teams and consistency in messaging to patients and families can really help care.
You mentioned all these different experts that are involved in KO. So what is the usual process for you for when you're treating a pediatric atopic dermatitis patient?
The evaluation is still going to be a standard evaluation. I'm going to start with the history. And in trying to assess the history, I'm trying to get a sense of how long it's been going on, what the course has been, because I'm going to see the skin at one point in time and want to get a sense of, has this been this roller coaster of flares? Has there been persistent disease? I clearly want to get a sense of what treatment has been used. And often we have to quantify the amount of treatment because many times people undertreat because they're concerned about side effects of medicines. And I want to know how well they felt that worked. And then I'm also trying to get a sense of what their experiences have been with their healthcare practitioners and also personal experiences. Because if there's a family history of AD, that not only matters because we expect there to be a family history of many families, but it could be the parent had a personal experience and a problem with a medicine or something. It's important to get that data as we go through our shared patient decision-making, figure out the best way to manage the patient.
And you mentioned that you have to look at the patient's skin. So telehealth, because of the pandemic, has really surged in use. Does it help this process, or does it almost hurt this process because it's not in front of you?
There's no question that I prefer, if I have a significant eczema, so that's either mild, that's persistent and requiring more medicine than people are comfortable with, or moderate severe disease, I vastly prefer an initial evaluation to be a live evaluation. That aids in terms of assessing the qualities of the eczema, to a degree the extent of the eczema, and also it's just more efficient in being able to bring out into the room what that history is and how it's impacting the family. Long distance, however, we've done very successful interventions and evaluations and interventions using telemedicine. And certainly follow-up visits, especially from long distances, have been remarkably aided by telemedicine because especially if I've had prior live visit, I have a sense of both the what the skin looks like, the extent. So there's a comparison aspect to it. And then also the families end up getting educated. So when they know I'm gonna be, if I wanna quantify the amount of eczema doing, there's a body surface area assessment with one hand is 1%. You know, my experienced patients by the third visit, I'm like, how many hands of eczema? And they'll tell me. They know that, especially with telemedicine where it's harder to get the extent and people don't like to necessarily hang out nude with a video camera, even if it's in a protected, you know, healthcare space. It's a methodology of seeing how they're doing.
Can you give us an example about communication and better teamwork really helps a patient and it really needs to be top line of care?
So I'll do two different examples. So one example is the more common example of just communication with the referring physician, because that's the standard. It's we want our referring physicians to sort of know what's going to happen and what our approach will be. And then, of course, to support us in that approach. So if we're going to be doing specific allergy testing or something, making them aware of that because they may help to manage that patient afterwards. And also if we're going to be prescribing a certain topical regimen, that they understand that. So we do the usual communication method, you know, sending letters off with here's what we're doing. But also, like, we did an initiative with core primary care consortium, our pediatric consortium at Rady Children's Hospital, where we basically did this sort of eczema program. We taught the pediatricians core aspects of eczema care and helped to build into their electronic medical record ways to help prescribe the medicine. So that was an initiative, but it made them so much more comfortable either prescribing more than what they did before or helping to manage it and understanding why it is that we're doing it. And sure, that's increasingly important as we have this evolution and revolution in therapy with so many new topicals as well as new systemic agents coming. We want our primary care doctors to understand where the field is moving and be supportive when it makes sense for that patient. The other example is just the multidisciplinary clinic, and that's been really an incredible experience to see how taking that extra time and having sort of concurrent care delivered really helps. So for instance, you know, having a detailed allergy evaluation, sometimes it might be environmental allergies, sometimes it might be asthma, that may not be tied directly to the atopic dermatitis at all, but taking the time to address that makes the patients, in our case, the families, feel so much better because it really is a little bit more of a holistic approach to the patient's care. And I think they value that we're taking the time to consider that. And a consequence of that is, you know, when we do really good topical therapy or some of our systemic therapies, you know, and we ask the follow-up questions, we see these tremendous influences. So for instance, you know, systemic dupilumab not only can be miraculous in pediatric and adolescent atopic dermatitis, but our patients' asthma is markedly benefited by it. You know, it happens to be approved for, you know, severe asthma as well. So by querying and spending time looking at other aspects of the life, when we make it better, we get that translation and discussion of how it's not just quality of life, but life activities are really changed.
And then my last question, is there anything to add about this subject?
You know, right now, in dermatology, we're excited, but we also have a challenge to figure out how to incorporate our different medicines into standard care. And I think we both want to be individualized, but standardized. You know, most medicines are tested against their blank, their placebo or their vehicle. And we don't have studies where it's like, oh, here's 20 patients, we're going to randomize them to different medicines or comparisons. So we basically figure out in practice what's the best thing, both in terms of how the medicine might perform, but also in terms of the risk-benefit ratios that families are willing to discuss. So part of what we need to do is to communicate to the family, but then also, you know, amongst ourselves, sort of what that decision-making process is, how we're weighing and measuring those different things, and then ultimately, you know, be able to figure out how well we benefited that those patients. And it's, it was a different world than it was, you know, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and certainly 10 years ago in terms of how we can markedly positively impact our patients' lives.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles to videos and podcasts, visit www.dermatologytimes.com.